We are on page 892. Last week he didn't learn it was Nittel. We're up to Vachedesh Arishin. Last time we finished Rosh Chodesh, and we were discussing, the main thing we were discussing, the sin offering that Hashem brings, that because he lessened the moon, because he made the moon smaller. We discussed the whole thing, that was the source of all evil coming into the world, was because Hashem lessened the moon and so on. Okay, now we're going into the Korbanos, which, again, it's going to go quicker than regular because it's just the Korbanos. Okay, so it says in page 892, Pasuk 16, Tazayin. Chodesh Adishin, in the first month, which is Nisan, Barba Asa Yem LaChodesh, in the 14th day of the month, Pesach LaHashem, you have to bring a Korban Pesach to Hashem. And obviously, the Yom Tov begins on the 15th. This that it says the 14th, it means the Korban Pesach. Mm-hmm. And again, Pesach here means the Korban, not the Chag. Because we learned in the past, in Chumash, the holiday is not called Pesach. Nowhere. When it says here, Pesach LaHashem, it doesn't mean the Yom Tov, because it's the 14th, and the Pesach starts on the 15th. It means the Korban Pesach to Hashem. In Torah, it's only called Chag HaMatzis. We call it Pesach. We discussed, and you know, a long time ago, we were learning it, because the Jews love Hashem, and Hashem loves the Jews. We call it Pesach because Hashem passed over, and he didn't kill the Jews, he just killed the Egyptians. And Hashem calls it Chag HaMatzis to tell the greatness of the Jews, that they ran out of Egypt without any food, because they had such bitachon, such trust in Hashem, that Hashem is going to take care of them. And the 15th day of the month, which is Pesach, Shivas Yom Matzis Yochel, Matzis should be eaten 7 days. B'yom Arishim Mikra Kodesh, on the first day of the 7 days, this is again in Eretz Yisrael, Pesach is only 7 days, on the first day is Yom Tov, Kom Leches Aveda Leisasu. You cannot do any work. Now, by Shabbos it says, Kom Melocha Leisasu. Can't do any work. Here when it says, Meleches Aveda, the Gemara learned out from here that things that you need for food, cooking, carrying, things like that, that you're allowed to do on the Yom Tov of Pesach, or any of the Yom Tovim except Yom Kippur and Shabbos. Okay, because over there it says, called Malacha, any Malacha. Here it says, Malacha Saveda.
Is not plural, it's singular, huh?
Malacha. What?
Malacha is singular? Or
Malacha Saveda means work of Aveda, whatever the work is. There's a lot of different types of work. Now, just one more thing. Why is it called Chodesh Arishin? Okay, obviously, Nisan is the first month. The year starts from Tishrei. Nisan is the first of the month. So the Rebbe writes somewhere that when it says Chodesh Arishin is because springtime, which Pesach is always has to be in the spring, that's why we have a leap year. Pesach, springtime is when people start blossoming. You know, winter, especially if you don't live in California, it's very dreary. You know, you can't do anything. It's snow and Pesach, you know, you get into a better mood. So the Torah says, by a Jew, it's always supposed to be Chodesh Arishin. A Jew, even during the winter, you're supposed to have, like the beginning, you know, it should always be the first thing the Torah says, Chodesh Arishin. It should always be like the spring.
The first of year planet. Plan.
Plan like the spring. It should be good. Okay. Kamlach is Aveda Leisasu. You can't do any work of real work except cooking. You could do. The Kraftem Isha Eila Lashem, and you should offer this fire offering. Isha means a fire offering. Lashem Eila Lashem, a burnt offering. What do you order? Parim Bnei Bakar, two young bulls. Ayel Echad, one ram. V'shiva Kvasim Bnei Shana, and 7 male lambs within the first year. Tamimim yulachem should be for you without any blemishes. Okay? Now, Rabbeinu Bechaya just says, the shnei parim, because you look over here, it says like this, you bring 2 parim, 2 bulls, 1 ram, and 7 kvasim, 7 sheep. Yeah? So Rabbeinu Bechaya, I'm sorry, the Mizrahi writes, no, take it back. The Barbano writes, I'm sorry. The Yitzchak Barbano writes that the 2 parim correspond with Moshe and Aaron. Because they took the Jews out of Egypt. So that's the two. The Ayol refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because in Hebrew, Ayol, Ayeli Ha'aretz Lokach means the strong people of the earth he took away. So Ayol, besides meaning a Ram, also refers to strength. So that refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Shiva Kvasim, this is what he writes, the Barbanel writes, corresponds with the seven Ovis, Noach, Avram, Yitzchok, Yaakov, Levi, Kohos, Amram. Because this is now, there was the only one that lived until now. So it was Noach, Avraham, Yitzchok, Yaakov, Levi, Kohos, and Amram. So even these korbanos correspond with Meisha, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the seven of us. But they have to be complete. Uminchasam and the flower offerings, the meal offerings, but the flower offerings. Seles lulav hashemen, fine flour mixed with oil. Shleisha esreinim lapar, should it be 3/10 of an eifa for each bull. So because there are two bulls, it was 6/10 of an eifa. Shnei esreinim la'ayil, 2 eifa for the ram. Okay? So now, basically, this is all gzeres hakasav, the commentators explain. There's no reason for this. But this is what Hashem says. You have to bring for each of the bulls 3/10 of an eifa, and for the ayil, you have to bring 2/10 of an eifa. That was a measurement of flour mixed with oil, which was the flour offering for the korbanos. Isoren, isoren tase, 1/10 of an eifa you should do, lekeves ha'echot for each of the sheep, leshivas ha'kvasim for the 7 lambs. Okay? So the Torah is saying each bull had 3 eifa of flour. The ram had 2 eifa of flour. And the kvasim had 1 eifa, 1/10 of an eifa for each one of the bulls. And these were, by the way, these were the public korbanos that they brought on each the chag. These were not personal korbanos.
It's the first day of the chag they use it, only the first day of the chag?
By Yom Arish, yeah. And the first day they had to bring it.
What they do with oil and flour? What they do? They cook it or what they do?
They put it on the Mizbeach.
And burn it or what they do?
The Kohen took a kmitza. A kmitza is, there was this amount of flour mixed with oil. So the Kohen took a fistful, and then the din was, the kmitza is, they filled up their fist with a loose fist, with this flour mixed with oil, and then they took the thumb and rubbed off the top, and they took the pinky and rubbed off the bottom, and what was left, that was burnt on the Mizbeach. The rest was divided up amongst the Kohenim of the shift.
So they cook it, they burn it.
They burn it on the Mizbeach with the carbon. So. Yeah, yeah. That was Hashem's part. And the rest of it he left for the Kohenim.
But they would eat the rest of it.
The Kohenim ate the rest, yeah. Oil mixed with flour, whatever they wanted to eat, it would go fried, whatever, pancakes, whatever. But from all this, not all of it was burnt on the Mizbeach. It's very interesting. Certain things you have, like carbon oila, everything was burnt. Except the hide of the animal. That wasn't burnt.
Inside also they burnt. Inside
the everything. The whole animal is burnt except the outside hide. The skin of the animal wasn't burnt. Certain things like oila was completely burnt. The other korbanos, Hashem said, you know, to give me a little bit, you take a little bit, this a little bit, you know, Kohenim ate, Yisraelim ate. Like we don't know, the Shlomim, everybody ate. Mostly the other korbanos, the Kohenim ate. But Hashem said, you know what it teaches us? Hashem says, don't give me everything. All I want is the best. Give me a little bit.
This part.
No, that's what Hashem said. Reish is the gancha, you know. Chala. You take the first little bit of dough. Hashem says, you know, you take a handful, yeah? Hashem says, the rest you keep. But I want the first. You should realize that the best, kochel of Hashem, the best, the juiciest, the best. That's what you give to Hashem. And the same thing, Bechlal, Hashem says in life also. I don't need to whole day davening and learning. And then a little bit davening, a little bit of learning, the rest of the day is yours. But just give me a little bit. But the little bit that you give me
is pure.
Should be like the Mefarshim bring out, in fact, he brings it over here, Taka. That it has to be from the best, not like Cain and Hevel. That was the whole issue with Cain and Hevel. Cain gave junk, so Hashem didn't accept his carbon. Hevel gave the good stuff, Hashem accepted the carbon. So Hashem is very basically a nice guy. He says, I don't need everything. All I want is a little bit, but what you give me completely.
Can I have your heart, Cain?
Yeah. Give me the best of the lot. That's why it's very important when kids go to even the day schools or the yeshivas, it's very important that Lamudah Kodesh, they learn in the morning. Because in the afternoon already they're tired. So Lamudah Kodesh has to be, the Rebbe thought about that many times. Lamudah Kodesh has to be in the morning because that's the best of the day. You want to learn Lamudah Chol, you want to learn secular studies, fine. But the beginning has to be, and that's what the Kabbalah Soul teaches. Hashem didn't need so much flour. It's a lot of flour over here. He doesn't need that much flour. Hashem didn't say, give me a handful. Hashem said, no, I want you really to give me all of it, but from that, just take off a little bit, because then, Hashem said, the rest is yours, but it's holy. The rest is yours, but it's holy. In last week's parsha, Vayechi, it says when there's no more food left in Egypt and the people came and the Yosef said, okay, bring your cattle, and then they brought the fields, you know, all that. So over there, the Pasuk says an interesting thing. The Pasuk says, Arba Yodis Tielochem. I'm sorry, not in Vayechi. In the end of Vayigash. The end of Vayigash, yeah? He says like this. Yosef gave him things to plant, and then he says like this, are you about tfuas? When the satam chamishis lepare, give a fifth to pare, v'arba hayodis yelochem, and four fifths will be yours. That's what Yosef made up with the people. I'm going to give you seed. The hunger was over when Yaakov came, so things started to grow. So Yosef said, one fifth give to pare, and four fifths to keep you for yourself. That's one of the sources, by the way, they bring down. For Chomer, you know, you're supposed to give 10%. Mm-hmm. Better is Chomesh, 20%. They learned it out from that Pasuk, because Yosef said, one-fifth, which is 20%, give to Pari, and the rest you keep for yourself. But even then, the Torah is teaching us, Hashem says, Pari also refers to Hashem, but he says, I don't need it all. I just want a little bit. Okay, then he says like this: Usir chatos echod, and one goat, a male goat, for a sin offering, lechaper aleichem, to forgive for you. Okay. Now it's interesting what I said before about the potim and the elim and the kvasim. Yeah. So the Barbanel says it refers to Moshe and Aaron, and it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Rashi learns, also from the Medrash, that Parim, there were Parim, Elim, and Kvasim. Right? That was, so he brings down Rashi from the Moshe Adarshan, who was the Rebbe of Moshe, of Rashi. Rashi learned a lot of Chumash, but of Moshe Adarshan it says. He says, Parim refers to Keneged Avraham. Why? Because it says, Elabokar Rotz Avram, by the Malachim, and he went and brought a cow. Elim, the ram, is Keneged Yitzchak, that was the ram of the Akedah. And the sheep, the Pasuk says, earlier in Bereshis, Vaksavim Hifrid Yaakov, Yaakov separated the sheep, by Lavan. So these three Kabbanis, according to Rashi explains to the Meisher Dash, actually refers to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Because according to many opinions in the Gemara, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov were born Pesach time. Some people say they were born Tishrei, but even Rashi in Chumash says when the Malachim came to Avram,
it was Pesach.
And he said, next year you're going to have a baby. Pesach. That means Pesach. So Rashi follows the opinion that said they were born in Pesach. But these three correspond with Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. So the first Yom Tov, Pesach, corresponds with Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov.
It's more logical.
More logical that it was Nissen. Yeah, but the other opinions say it's an argument of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara. But interesting to note, while we're off the topic, you can't have an argument and a fact. You can have an argument if something's kosher or not kosher, if you're allowed or not allowed. That you can argue. But if they were born Pesach or Tishrei, when were they born? You can be born
both.
Both. You can't say Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim. They're both right. It can be Nissan and Tishrei. You say one opinion says it's kosher, one opinion says it's treif. You can, but you can't say Tishrei or Nissan. Which one is it? And the truth is they're both right. There's a level of Nissan, there's a level of Tishrei, the intent, the actual we learned by creation of the world. And the same thing by the Ovis. There's a level in the Ovis which is Nissan, the level of the Ovis which is Tishrei, and the question is, which one is the main one? In other words, not physically when they were born that you can't argue. They're either Nissan or Tishrei, it can be both. The question is, the Ovis have in them an Aved of Nissan, an Aved of Tishrei. What's either from God coming down or them going up? They had both. The question is, what is the dominating force within them? Is it God coming down, meaning Nissan? Mm. Or do we say that they were born in Tishrei, meaning the primary Avedis, from lower to higher? Because what does birth mean? Birth means you're revealed. Mm. A baby exists before they're born. Correct? Everybody knows. It's there. It's there. The only question is, the birth is when it comes revealed. So the question is, when were the Ovis revealed, meaning their Avaida, was it primarily Tishrei Avaida or Nissan Avaida? That was the... In fact, they have even an interesting question. There's a Machlekes when the Gemara, when Mashiach's coming. Is he coming in Nissan or Tishrei? Okay, there's an argument in the Gemara. So the Rambam writes, based on the Nissan Nigalu, Ubenissen asidin liigoyel, right? We're taken out in Nissan. Mashiach's coming in Nissan. Yeah. So the question is that Rambam writes Yisrael eisin tshuva umiyad hei nigolin. The Jews are going to do tshuva, and then Mashiach's coming. Now tshuva is Tishrei, not Nissan. So that means he's coming in Tishrei. So like, which one is it? And the answer is both of it. There's a tshuva in Nissan. There's a Nissan in Tishrei. I mean, there's a whole you have it all. But the obvious, they have these in Yonim. Okay, so they had to bring a sin offering. Okay.
What reason to chag, you should, for sin offering, we have to bring the korban? What's the reason?
Why to bring a korban?
For the chag.
That's
chag,
the way you remember Hashem in the holiday.
Holiday, for, is not for sin.
Is no, this sin? Was to forgive sins that the Jews did during the year. That's what it was. It wasn't for necessarily for the holiday itself. The Yom Tov forgave for the sins before the Yom Tov. Yeah. Melvad Eilas Habeik, all these karbanis, by the way, are called the Musaf karban. Mm. Because Musaf means an addition. This is Melvad Eilas Habeik, in addition to the regular karban that they brought every day. Asher la'elas atamid, that they brought in the continual carbon. Tasu es ela, this is what needs to be done. So the Torah is saying clearly, this is not instead of the carbon tamid, of the daily carbon. This is what's called musaf. And therefore nowadays, we don't have karbanis, so we daven musaf. But even with that musaf, the Torah says you need to daven shachris, because these karbanis were in addition to the daily karbanis. Now all of these karbanis were bought from communal money, from the half a shekels that everybody gave, and therefore every single Jew had a part in every one of these karbanis. Halachically, they had a part with it. So nowadays, that we tell, we don't have Beis HaMikdash, we don't have this, so we daven musaf. And we mention, by the way, these karbanis in the Musaf. That's why every Yom Tov has its own paragraphs in the Siddur, because every Yom Tov had a different carbon. So in the Musaf, we mention the carbon of that day. Now we say that by us davening it, it should be considered as if we brought it.
All Chagim the same?
No. No, we're soon going to learn. It's different.
The Musaf is not the same.
The Musaf is not the same. That's why every Shabbos we say the same Musaf. But the Chagim, everyone has their own Musaf. And that Amida, right? Everyone has their own paragraphs because everyone had a different carbon. If they all had the same carbon, you have the same Musaf. Okay. Pasik Chavdalit. Ka'ela, like these, Tasu Layem Shivas Yamim. You have to do every day of the 7 days. Every day of the 7 days, you have to bring these karbanas.
The same.
You start from the first day, all through the 7 days. Yisherech nicheyach la'Hashem, al elas ha'tomid, in addition to the morning komid, to yasev v'niske. Okay, you have to do it together with the libation, with the wine pourings, and all those other things. So the Torah says clearly, by the way, again, if you know, that's why we daven Musaf 7 days. We don't only daven Musaf Yom Tov, we daven Chol HaMoed also. Because the Torah says, Shivas Yomim, Ka'ela Tasu Layim, Shivas Yomim. Now, the difference is, as we'll get there, I don't know, today, whatever, Pesach, they brought the same carbon Musaf every day. Sukkot, every day was a different amount of animals. So Sukkot, every day Chol HaMoed was a different Musaf. Pesach, Chol HaMoed is the same carbon that what they did for 7 days. In fact, that's one of the reasons why on Pesach we say Chol HaMoed, we say half Hallel, and in Chol HaMoed Sukkot we say complete Hallel. So in Halach it says one of the reasons is because Sukkot, every day was a new carbon. So every day was like different. So you say complete Hallel. Pesach, every day was the same carbon, so you say half Hallel. Okay, V'yayim HaShvi, on the 7th day of Pesach, Mikra Kedesh Yalochem, again, it's a calling of, calling of Kedusha, Kol Melechas Aveda Leisasu. All work, again, of Aveda, meaning work, even though it's allowed in Chol HaMoed, but it's not allowed in Yom Tov, unless if it's things pertaining to food. But Stam, there's a very interesting thing, Mikra Kedesh. Okay, in the English, you know what it says here? Holy convocation for you. Okay? If you think about it, Mikra Kedesh literally means calling Kedesh. Mikra Kedesh. Calling Kedesh. And this is a unique thing that we discussed already a while ago about the Chagim. The Chagim's Kedusha is brought about by the Jew. Because who makes Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh? Beis Din. Right? When Beis Din witnesses, or even the calendar we have today, is based on the calendar that Hillel made. The calendar we have today, the Jewish calendar, is based on Hillel's grandson, the famous, the Hillel's grandson, his name was also Hillel. He set up the calendar system the way we have it today. But that's also based on the big Beis Din that they had in those days proclaiming Rosh Chodesh, based on that system. So Yom Tov, like we said, is based on what the Jews do. So Yom Tov is called Mikra Chodesh because the Jews called down the Kedusha. By proclaiming that day Rosh Chodesh, so then the 15th is 15 days later. Who made that happen? The Jew made it happen. So the Jew Yom Tov is called Mikra Kedesh because the Jew brings down calls. When you call something, they come to you. Mikra Kedesh means it calls the level of Kedusha. And that's why, I know we mentioned it in the past, but it's something which is very interesting to understand. When we daven on Shabbos, Shmoneh Esrei, right? What do we say? Baruch Ato Hashem, Mikadosh HaShabbos. In Kiddush. Mikadosh HaShabbos. We don't say Mikadosh Yisrael VaHashabbos. And Chag, we say, Baruch Ato Hashem, is the Amida for Yom Tov. Mikadish Yisrael v'Hazmanim. And it's interesting, when it's Shabbos in Yom Tov, we say Mikadish HaShabbos v'Yisrael v'Hazmanim. By Yom Tov we say Mikadish Yisrael v'Hazmanim. By Shabbos we say just Mikadish HaShabbos, no mention of the Jews. And by Shabbos Yom Tov we say Mikadish HaShabbos v'Yisrael v'Hazmanim. Why is that? Because Shabbos is not up to Beis Din. Shabbos is Mekadesh v'Kayem. God sanctifies Shabbos. Shabbos is not up to Beis Din. The seventh day of the week is Shabbos. Doesn't matter what Beis Din says. Right? So who sanctifies Shabbos? Hashem. So we say, Baruch Ato Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbos. Who sanctifies the months?
People.
The Jews. So we say, Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim. Hashem sanctifies the Jews who sanctify the Zman. Therefore, even when the Shabbos and Yom Tov together, you don't say Mekadesh Yisrael v'HaShabbos v'Hazmanim, because Shabbos has nothing to do with the Jews. So you say Mekadesh HaShabbos, and then v'Yisrael v'Hazmanim, Hashem sanctifies the Jews, and therefore the Chagim also. So because the Jews sanctify it, the Jews bring it down. So therefore, who brings down the Kedusha of the day? The Jews do. And therefore it's called Mikra Kedush. Shabbos is not called Mikra Kedush, by the way. Yom Tov is called Mikra Kedush because the Jews bring it down, the Kedusha, by calling it Yom Tov. And even though, by the way, this we also mentioned, there's the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. But people can understand it this year now from New Year's. New Year's in New Zealand was already in Times Square. It's happening in 25 minutes. The whole world is going crazy. And in England it happened, and in Hawaii it didn't happen. So, but the guy should care, it doesn't really matter. But at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, the Alter Rebbe asks a question in Shulchan Aruch. He asks a question that Yom Tov is a holier day than the rest of the week. Shabbos is a holier day than the rest of the week. The question is, Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael is 10 hours before LA. So when does the Kedusha come down? Like, in Australia, when it's Shabbos here, it's already Sunday there. So, they get the Kedusha day earlier, we get the Kedusha day later, like... When is the Kedusha coming down? You're 3 hours apart, 10 hours apart. When does the Kedusha come down?
Interesting.
So the answer is, and this is a very halacha answer, by the way, because Alter Rebbe speaks about, you know, midnight, chatzos, to tikkun chatzos. So it says in halacha, it's an eis rotzen. It's an auspicious time, midnight, you know, you used to sit on the floor, cry over the churban beis hamikdash, the whole thing. So it says, midnight here is 3 o'clock in the morning in New York and 10 o'clock in the morning in Israel. I mean, like, how does it work? And this is, by the way, the meaning of Mikra Kodesh. It means like this. Hashem's Kedusha is really above time and place. It's not connected to time and place. It's above time and place. Therefore, when that place becomes Shabbos, the Kedusha comes down. When that place becomes Yom Tov, it's like, now you have the vessel for the Kedusha, so the Kedusha comes down. If it's Friday, there's no Kedusha. It's not a vessel, so the Kedusha doesn't come down. So it doesn't really matter where you are. When it's by you, Shabbos, you know, Friday night, sundown, that's when the Kedusha of Hashem comes down into this place. When it's Yom Tov, that's when the Kedusha of Yom Tov comes down into the place.
So the location is important. The location.
Location is the vessel for that Kedusha of Hashem that we bring down, Mikra Kodesh. We bring it down. That is dependent on the place where we are. If somebody makes Kiddush out of Yom Tov in the morning, it's not going to do it. Because there's no place is not a vessel. The place is not a vessel for the Kedusha to come down. But Hashem's Kedusha is not limited in time and place. So therefore, wherever you open the window, the Kedusha comes in. When is the window open? When the time is that place? It's Shabbos or Yom Tov or midnight, whatever it is.
So when you find out that you can, this malachot, you can cook or something.
The Gemara learns it out. It was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, and that's where the Gemara learns out all the words, what you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, what you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. But from the fact that the Torah says Melechas Aveda Leisasu, it doesn't say called Melocha Leisasu. Melechas Aveda means certain things are Chachamim allowed, or the Torah allowed through the Chachamim, like cooking or you know things like that that you need for Yom Tov. Okay, Ubiyema Bikurim. This is the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Ubiyema Bikurim. Okay. The day Shavuos is called Bikurim, as we'll soon see. Bakriv chem mincha chadash el Hashem b'shavuoi seichem. When you bring a new meal offering, we'll soon see what this is, for your festival of weeks. Mikra kedesh yelochem. Again, it should be a holy calling of kedusha for you. Kol melechus aveda leisas. Okay. So Shavuos is called Yom HaBikurim. That's when they used to bring Bikurim. And Shavuos, they brought Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. In addition to that, okay, they had to bring this special flower offering. So he goes in the whole thing. What does he bring down? Rabbeinu Bechayu brings down that they brought two Esreinim of fine flour, and it was really sifted well, and they made two breads. And these were called the Shtei Alechem. And together with them was brought a bull, 3 years old, 7 kvasim, a year old, 2 rams, and then they brought the whole process of the meal offerings. This was what the Yom HaBikurim was.
This is related to Sefirat Omer. Exactly, this is connected to Sefirat Omer, yeah?
Right. Well, that's why the Torah says here, B'Shavu'ei Seichem. B'Shavu'ei Seichem means, in fact, there are, of course, says something very interesting, this word, B'Shavu'ei Seichem. It's two things over here. First, I just want to go back. Dor Chaim said one thing that I forgot to mention before. When it says in Pasuk Yud Zayin about Pesach, it says B'chamisha Asa Yom LaChodesh Hazeh Chog. Why does it say Hazeh? Masas Yeochel. See, in Pasuk Yud Zayin, the Pasuk says, on the 15th day of the month, this month, is 7 days and you have to eat matzah. So the Chaim HaKadosh brings down, why is the word Hazeh mentioned? And the Gemara learns out a very interesting thing from this. There's what's called a Gzeira Shava. A Gzeira Shava means, here it says a word, there it says a word. This you can't do on your own. But there's Halachal Meshim Sinai. Like, for instance, by Pesach it says Chamisha Asar. By Sukkot it says Chamisha Asar. Okay? So therefore, the Gemara learned out, we learn out a lot of dinim of Sukkot from Pesach and Pesach from Sukkot. Okay? I'll give you another example. What we learn out, it says you have to eat in the Sukkot. Yeah? Yeah. When's the mitzvah of eating in the Sukkah? The first night.
Yes.
How do you know it doesn't say anywhere in Chumash by Sukkot at night? So the Gemara says, because by Pesach it says Balayla Zeh, that you have to eat matzah at night, from there we learn out you have to eat in the Sukkah at night. You can't eat earlier, you know, you can't eat before the night starts. So then the Gemara asks, if so, you should eat matzah on Sukkot, and eat the matzah and Pesach in the Sukkah. If, this is what the Gemara asks. If we're learning out Pesach from Sukkot, and we're learning out Dinam one from the next, so if so, the Gemara says, then you should eat matzah and Sukkot, because you learn out Chamisha Asar. So Rav Chaim HaKadosh says that's why it says the chedesh hazeh matzis tiyeh achel. The word hazeh excludes sukkahs. Pesach. Then the Gemara asked, why don't you have to eat Pesach in the sukkah? And the Gemara answered, didn't answer.
Exclude Pesach, the Yom Hazeh
Chag HaShuvah. Chesh Hazeh, Shivas Yom Matzah, Yom mean only this month you have to eat Matzah, but Sukkah is, because I would think that you would have to, because it says 15-15. But this thing of B'Shuvah Eisechem is a different thing. If you notice, by Pesach the Torah says, Chamisha Asi Yem L'Chedesh Hazeh Chag. In Pasuk Yud Zayin before, the Torah says, when is Yom to Pesach? The 15th of the month. By Shavuos, it doesn't say which day. It says B'Shavuos Seichem, at the end of the weeks. Okay, we learned Shiva Shavuos Tispalach earlier in Chumash. It says you count 7 weeks, and the 50th day is Shavuos. Correct. Again, here the Torah doesn't say which day of the month it is, because the Gemara says it Shavuos is not dependent on the day of the month. It's the only Chag which is not dependent on a calendar day. The Torah says, on the second day of Pesach, you start counting 7 weeks, right? 49 days. The 50th day is Shavuos. Nowhere in Chumash, and it's very interesting, does it say that Shavuos is on the 6th of Sivan? Nowhere. And the Gemara says the opposite. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Shavuos could have been the 5th of Sivan, the 6th of Sivan, or the 7th of Sivan. According to our calendar, Shavuos is always the 6th. That's the natural, so it's one day. According to our calendar, Shavuos is always the 6th of Sivan. But in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Shavuos could have been the 5th, 6th, or 7th.
This is the way they figure Rosh Chodesh.
Right. Because nowadays, according to our calendar, Nisan has 30 days. Iyar has 29 days. So if you count from the second day of Pesach, 7 weeks. Okay? So the way it comes out, Shavuos is always on the 6th day of Sivan. Okay? Because 1 month is full, 30, and 1 month is 29. If both months are 30, which could have happened in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, then Shavuos would be on the 5th of Sivan. Because you have an extra day. If both months would have only 29 days, then it would be the 7th of Sivan. And the Gemara says, Shavuos, Pa'amim, Atzeres. The Gemara calls it Atzeres. Pa'amim, Chamisha, Pa'amim, Beshisha, Pa'amim, Beshiva. Because the Torah doesn't say exactly, and that's why the Torah is emphasizing Shavuos Seichem. In the deeper it says, you know why it says Shavuos doesn't have a day? And the B'chal, they ask another question. Pesach is 7 days. Right, Sukkot is 8 days,
one day.
Sure. And Shavuos is 1 day. Why? Or not only that, not only is it 1 day, the Torah doesn't even say when it is. Because Matan Teira is above time and place. There's no set day for Teira. Every day is Kabbalah so Teira. Every day is Teira. We don't want to have spread Teira in seven. Teira is one. One shows the sign of unity. Torah is 1 day. And by the way, which is bringing out another interesting point while we're on this Shavuos bit, there is no biblical holiday celebrating Matan Torah. There is no biblical holiday celebrating Matan Torah. And not only that, Matan Torah is an argument between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi in the Gemara. If God gave the Torah the 6th of Sivan or the 7th of Sivan, yeah, we paskin like the most people, like the Chachamim, the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan, yeah. If somebody celebrated Shavuos on the 5th of Sivan, right in their calendar, they did not say Zman Matan Torah Seinu in davening, because it wasn't. Torah was given on the 6th. If you're celebrating Shavuos on the 5th or the 7th, you can't say it's Matan Torah Seinu, because it's not. Torah was given on the 6th.
Why did they do it before?
Huh?
Why did they do it before the calendars come?
Because if the witnesses testified they saw the moon, that's what they saw.
So they go back.
It's possible, if you're a Chabadnik, it's possible that today you can also have Shavuos, 5th and 6th, or 7th and 8th. And not... A person today, if you're a Chabadnik, according to the Rebbe's opinion, you can have Shavuos on the 5th and 6th of Sivan. And if you do, I'll explain to you why in a second, and you're davening on the 5th, you don't say Zman Matan Torah Seinu.
So you shouldn't do that.
So. How is it possible? What?
Yeah, go ahead.
How is it possible to have Shavuos earlier or later? Because the Rebbe learns that Shavuos is 7 weeks after Pesach. And the Rebbe learns that Sfiras HaEmer is a personal counting, not a count of Bezdin. Yovel Shemitah is a count of Bezdin. Sfiras HaEmer is a private counting. Which means, if you finish Sfiras HaEmer earlier for whatever reason, then Shavuos is going to come out on the 5th. Because when you finish your 49th day, the next day is Shavuos for you.
How you can do that?
How can you do that? Nataya. But don't tell anybody. If a person crosses the international date line, okay? So from Monday, all of a sudden becomes Wednesday. So you lose Tuesday. Yes. Go from here to Australia, right? Yes. So you lose Tuesday. So you all of a sudden from Monday, the second you cross the date line, it becomes Wednesday. Correct? You lose a day of your life. Then you get it back on the way back. So on the way there, you're going to lose Tuesday. But on the way back, you might have 2 Mondays. You'd have to daven again, put on tefillin again, whatever. Okay.
So you cover.
Now, if somebody goes, you have to remember, unlike Shabbos, if I skip Tuesday, I still keep Shabbos like everybody else. I don't say, well, for me, it's Friday. Right? Why? Because Shabbos is a communal count.
Okay.
But Sfiras HaEmer is my personal count. Which means, if I go across the date line, and they're a day ahead of me, when I count, well, they're counting 41, I'm counting 40. Because I got to go my count.
Monday.
Right? I might skip a day of the week, but the counting is my personal counting. Okay? So everybody in Australia is counting 41, but I'm counting 40. Now, when they finish 49 days, by me it's only 48. That means their first day of Shavuos by me is not Yom Tov. Now publicly you can't do any work, even in your house you can't do any work. But bottom line is, you have to put on tefillin that day. Because for you it's not Yom Tov. Shavuos is not dependent on the day of the week or day of the month. If Shavuos and Pesach would be the 15th of Nisan, whatever the 15th of Nisan is, it doesn't matter, you know, if you missed the day or not. Now's the 15th of Nisan, for you it's Pesach. But Shavuos is based on what you count the Emet. If you're counting the Emet, and you finish after everybody else, so they're counting Shavuos Monday, and by you it's Shavuos is going to be Tuesday. If you come the other way, you come from Australia here, so we're behind you, so you come to Shavuos before us. Right? Because here in America we're a day later than you. So when you come, you're going to start Shavuos a day after us. I mean a day before us. Sorry, a day before us. So you're going to have Shavuos on 5th and 6th. Mm-hmm. Right? And everybody's going to have 6th and 7th. And the other way you're going to have 7th and 8th. And everybody's having 6th and 7th.
6th and 7th.
Right? Everybody has 6th and 7th.
Yeah.
But this guy coming from Australia,
6 and 7.
He's going to have
6 and 7.
No, not 6. We have 6 and 7. He's going to have 7 and 8. And going the other way, he's going to have the opposite. He's going to have 5th and 6th. Okay, and the other way, it goes to Australia. You'll have it 6 and 7th and 8th. That's what the Rebbe writes. He doesn't want people going across the international dateline during Sfira. So you go from Australia, you have to go back the long way, all around the world. But we did, the Rebbe sent us to Australia, then it was the middle of Sfira. We went through Eretz Yisrael, Iran, India, stayed a Shabbos in India, and then That's when I was in Iran, 1971. And then we went the long way to go to Australia. Because the Rebbe didn't want people to go. Unless, if you go and come
back
during Svira, then you don't have a problem. Because then you're caught up to everybody else. Because then you just keep going, and then you're back to everybody else. But that's why it says Shvuah Seichem, because Shvuah says, that's why it's called Shvuah. It has nothing to do with the date of the, it's the only Yom Tov, the only Chag in the Torah that doesn't say when it is. The Torah says when it is, 7 weeks after, but it doesn't say which day of the month because it's not dependent on the month. So it says, why is it like that? Because Torah is higher than time and place. And that's why Matan Torah is only one day, because Hashem said we're not dividing into seven. It's one. It's one unit. One with Hashem. But technically, it's interesting to note that there is no biblical Yom Tov for Matan Torah. For Pesach it says, I took you out of Mitzrayim. Sukkot it says, I put you in a sukkah. Shavuos? It doesn't say because I gave you the Torah. It doesn't say anywhere. And another interesting point, nowhere in Chumash does it say when Matan Torah was. And that's why there's an argument in the Gemara Shabbos between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi. The Chachamim say Torah was given on the 6th. Rabbi Yossi says Torah was given on the 7th. Okay? Pesach, the Torah clearly says what happened. I took out of Mitzrayim on the 15th. Whatever. Matan Torah, there's no biblical holiday celebrating Matan Torah. It so happens that according to our calendar, Shavuos is Matan Torah. It so happens. Mashiach comes, it's not going to be necessarily that way. We're going back to the old style. Back to the witnesses with the Beis Din. Going back to all the old stuff.
They don't have
no more smartphones.
They don't have technology anymore.
They're not going to go by technology. They're going to have karbanis.
So what?
And Peter is going to stand there and demonstrate, and they're still going to do the karbanis.
Interesting. You changed the gym. Maybe not the same people at that time. Because the people is different.
Okay, then it says like this. We craft them. Pasuk of Zayin, yeah? We craft them. Again, you have to bring this carbon oiler l'Hashem, reich nicher parim b'nei vakar shnayim ayel echad, two bulls, one ram, shiva kvasim b'nei shana, umin chasam, and again, the meal offering is seles b'lulav ha-shamen, shloish ha-sreinim l'aparo echad, again, similar to the other one, 3/10 of an eifa for each bull, shnei ha-sreinim l'ayel echad, 2/10 of an eifa for one ram, 1/10 of an eifa,
exactly the same like that.
In that respect, yes. But here is a little bit different. Seir izim echad l'chaper aleichem. Okay, one seir. Yeah, for forgiveness. This one and one person will talk about this one. Milvat eilus atamid. In addition to the, daily korbanos. To mimin yilacham in the scam, it has to be complete together with the pouring libations and so on and so forth. So the Mepharshim point out that if you notice over here, it doesn't say si'ir izim echod lechatos. By Pesach in Pasuk Chav Beis, it says, Seir Chatas Echod L'chaper Aleich. Here it doesn't say, Seir Izim Echod Chatas. It just says, L'chaper Aleich. Okay, so it says, why doesn't it say it? So it says, out of respect for Matan Torah, where does it say that? Okay, anyway, it says like this. In respect to Matan Torah, Hashem doesn't want to use the word sinning.
What's the reason?
Huh?
What's the reason? I can't understand that.
No, because out of respect for Matan Torah, it doesn't want to use the word chatos, sin. Because by Matan Torah, all the Jews became pure.
It doesn't mention anything about
sin.
No, about the Matan Torah, this part.
I understand, but I told you it's alluded to.
Which part is alluded? I don't see anything.
Because it doesn't say the word chatos. Here it is. Here. The Daskim Baltesa says, by Shavuos, Sir Ezen Lechapa Velaiksiv Lechatos, Mipnei Kovet Ateda Shinit Nabay Biyim. Because Teda, like by Matan Teda, all the Jews were pure from sin.
Sins.
So the Teda doesn't want to say the Jews' first sin offering. It says bring a goat to forgive, but it doesn't want to use the word sin, because by Matan Teda, all the Jews became pure from any sin. Paskas are Muslim, their impurity stopped. That's what he says. Fishahal you as Yisrael nikiyim mikol chatos, because Hashem says in the Medrash that when you accepted all Torah of HaMitzvahs, Hashem said, I consider it as if you never sinned. That's what the Daskim Baltes brings on the Medrash. It says in the Medrash, it says that when the Jews accepted Torah, Hashem said, you know what? I am so excited, you never sinned in your life. Mm-hmm. So by what?
Why do we always hear about how this is happening because of the golden calf?
That's after Matan Torah, Madame. This is not before Matan. Matan Torah got clean. So Hashem said, I don't want to say the word sin offering. And he connects also with, you would see you later, and obviously not today, but about Rosh Hashanah. They're also a new person. I mean, we'll soon see it. There's a bunch of differences in the expressions of the Karbanis.
Rabbi, this they do in the Israel. They do in Israel. It's not out of Israel. How come?
No, they did this in the Mishkan too.
In Mishkan they do?
Yeah. Yeah. But once they came to Eretz Yisrael, they had the Mishkan in Eretz Yisrael.
Because Bukurim?
No, not Bikurim. Mm. He's not speaking about the mitzvah bringing Bikurim. Mm. He says, B'yema Bikurim. Mm. In the day when you normally would bring Bikurim. But, no, you know what? I'm sorry. We learned before, by Rosh Chodesh, that Hashem did, the Jews did not bring the Korbanos until they came into Eretz Yisrael. Mm-hmm. Right, I'm sorry. Yes, they didn't.
So
but once they came into Eretz Yisrael.
So after Eretz Yisrael, they do the worship.
He says, Ki Bamidbar, the Ramban writes before, by Rosh Chodesh, Ki Bamidbar lehikriva musafim. The Korban Talmud they did bring every day in the Mishkan, but not the Korban musafim. These Korbanos, they only brought after the land was divided.
They did
the daily Korbanos, not the additional ones.
So this is the idea, chata. You have to do it because it's the same situation as Pesach.
Yeah, but every year Shavuos, even though again the Torah is hinting to it, it doesn't say clearly, because in Shavuos the Jews are clean. The Torah says you have to bring a chatos, but the Torah doesn't use the word chatos. The Torah doesn't say for sin offering. So you have to bring a goat for forgiveness. Kapara, we just learned in the Gersa Tshuva, the Altareb brings on the expression that Kapara is the expression of Mekaneach Lichluchachet. Kapara means to clean. That's
purify,
what forgiveness.
Purify.
Yeah, forgiveness is cleaning the sin. That's forgiveness. That's what forgiveness means. You wipe it off. So it's the concept of Lechaper Aleichem, to cleanse the Jew. Okay.
Thank you.